Well, God bless everybody. Happy Mother's Day to all you moms out there. And we've been studying, we've been looking at John, and I wanted to continue here. So go to John 8. Let's go to John chapter 8. I've been very thankful to look at the Gospel of John again, and to see all the great truths that are here. In John chapter 8, we sort of left off with our Lord. This is, again, the Feast of the Tabernacles from 753, and he continues to speak to them, and he says in verse 12, we read last week, but let's read this again. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The people who follow the Lord Jesus Christ and what he says, they're going to have the light of life. They're going to have eternal life. You know. Then the Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, and thy record is not true. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came, and whither I go. But you cannot tell whence I come, or whither I go. You judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet, if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bears witness of myself, and the Father that sent me bears witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? And Jesus answered, You neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And these words spake Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself, because he saith, Whither I go, you cannot come? And he said unto them, You are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I said, therefore, unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus said unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. And they understood not that he spake unto them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. There's more than one group here. Jesus and is having this dialogue with the unbelieving Pharisees, but there's a whole lot of other people there, and they believe on him. I want you to notice, you know, first of all, the message of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, many people listen to it. Many people have personal opinions about what he taught, what he thinks, what he did, and most of them have no idea. They make a judgment, just like these unbelieving Pharisees. They make a judgment about Jesus without having knowledge. I can't tell you, how many people have you talked to? I've talked to many. They all have opinions about Jesus Christ, and yet they've never read the scriptures. The message of our Lord, especially in John, and especially in this section, the message of our Lord is about himself. 85 times he's talking in this brief section in that we're reading today. About 85 times that I could count. And I think I lost count sometimes. He says the word I, myself, me, my. 85 times, just in these few minutes of speaking. He's telling them about him, and they're too dense to understand. They say, well, who are you? He says, I've told you. I've been telling you. I'm the Christ. I'm the Son of God. I'm the one you got to believe on. I'm the light of the world. I'm the bread of life in chapter 6. You know, most people, I think, miss the boat. And that's because they're blind. They're blind spiritually. These men are blind. You can have the Messiah in front of you and not get it. You can have the Messiah doing miracles and signs and wonders and not get it if you're spiritually blind. And he tells them, he's going to tell them exactly why they're blind here in a little while. But, you know, you and I, let me ask you a question. Why do you believe things that people say to you? You know, I mean, do you ever ask yourself that question? You know, we went to school as kids, and we believed the teachers. Why? Because they're individuals of authority, because mom and dad sent us there. And they told us to listen to these people, right? And some of them were wonderful, great, blessing teach. But is what they taught us true? You know, is this the truth? Because you can believe an awful lot of things that are not true. When I went to school, and most of you probably, you know, evolution was an absolute truth. And they taught it like it was. I know it's a theory, but they taught it like it's an absolute truth. Now, all these many decades later, the scientists have finally come to the conclusion that everything that Darwin said is not true. Because they've learned more. But it was taught to me like it was true before. Right? How about, I don't know, I wrote down a couple of things. He says, read my own. Oh, Pluto was a planet. Yeah. There were 9 planets in the solar system, right? I got a kick out of this. Pluto was a planet. There were 9 of them. You had to write them down. You took the test. You got it right. You know, and then as they learn more, as the decades went by, they degraded Pluto. It's no longer a planet. You know, it's something else now. All right, how many other things have changed from the truth that you were told to believe so many years ago to today? And I'm just kind of picking the odd things, okay? We've learned more. We have learned more as time has gone by. But See, truth, real truth that Jesus is talking about doesn't change. You know, there are things that you and I take. I used to think if it was on TV, it had to be true. You know, I've learned a lot since then. I've learned a lot since then. But again, how do you come, if I'm saying something to you, how do you know it's true? How do you know that anything that comes to you is true or not true? You have evaluated these things. You know, take, for instance, a subject, all right? Like, I'll listen to an individual talking about cars, all right? Engines, things like that. These something I know a little bit about. So I'll listen to this individual, and I'll know from my knowledge of what I know about cars, and then listen to them and realize that, okay, this could be right. It's something for me to consider. But then if I listen to somebody else and they know nothing about it and I know more than them, then I judge that their words are not true. You know, if I talk to Bob Terrell about horses, okay, I know he knows something. I've watched him do what he does, all right? And other people in his field hold him in high regard, all right? That tells me that he knows what he's doing. So when he says something about a horse, whether I understand it or not, because I never had one, you know, I can trust that what he's saying is true about the subject. You know, when George talks to me about cameras, or you know, he knows something about it. I've watched him do it. I've seen the work that he has done. And then I know that, yeah, George knows what he's doing. Now, are there other experts? Are there other experts? Yeah, there are. There are plenty of others. And maybe they add to knowledge or they subtract. But we judge everything based upon, first of all, the authority of the individual speaking, and secondly, on the basis of, can I see the knowledge and see the fact that other people appreciate that know more than me? And it gives me confidence to believe that the person talking about a certain thing knows what they're doing. Do you follow me? That's just from life experience, right? You also have, you know, for us, we have the consistency. The other thing that builds a belief that the person is speaking is true, we have the consistency of something that's being said throughout. And for us, the scriptures, we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. We can see from the Old Testament, from words that were given to the prophets couple of thousand years ago, we can see that Jesus Christ fulfills certain things. We can look at his lineage, and we can follow those things through the scripture. You know, faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. But when you talk to a person that knows nothing, how do they come to the place where they learn that this is true? Well, in the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ right here, you have a man who is consistently teaching them all the way through. He is proving himself by miracles and signs and wonders. Remember, just a chapter or two ago, he just fed 10,000, walked on water. You know, he's healed. After this record, with dealing with these blind people, he's going to, in chapter 9, he's going to open the eyes of one born blind. And yet these guys, they can't get it. And what do unbelievers throw at the Lord here? What do they throw at other people? Well, first they lie. All right? Second, they insult. They're going to tell him several times, who is your father? Okay, because they're thinking he's a bastard child. Later on in verse 41, they call him a bastard. They're insulting him because they don't have much anything else. They do what I'm trying to make the point is, they do the same thing today. The devil doesn't, blind people do the same exact thing today with the word that they hear. And they just can't get it. They don't get it. So when they say to Jesus, back up in 14, you bear record of yourself. I'm only going to accept if there's two here. The law of Moses says if you have two witnesses, if you have two witnesses, then your witness is true. Well, Jesus Christ said, even though I'm bearing witness of myself and you can't see Almighty God in person here, he is also the one who is bearing witness of me. And I know it is true. I know where I came from and I know where I'm going. You don't know nothing. And he stands steadfast on this. Jesus Christ is proclaiming who he is. Like I said, 85 times he's talking about himself in this short record. And he says, the words that I speak unto you, they're from the Father. I'm speaking the words that he's given me. So they say to him, who's your father? And he says, you don't know me. And you don't know my father. The reason that you can't understand what I'm saying is because you have no knowledge of me. You don't know me. You don't know what I've been telling you. You can't hear these words. Because he's going to say that a little later on. And you don't know the father. Right? Then, and he says to him, I'm leaving. All right? And when I leave and you don't believe on me, you're going to die in your sins. You know, the whole reason he came was to bring people to God. And if they don't get to the place and point where they understand this, that you're going to die in your sins. He's verse 23. And he said unto them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You're worldly. You're of this world. I am not of this world. I say therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins if you believe not that I am he. You shall die in your sins. He's trying to save them. You know, there was another thing came up the other day in my mind. You know, you never throw sinners out of the church. They dismiss themselves. You know, I don't really believe that you throw people out of a church. You can certainly, I've had plenty of people who have challenged me, the church, and raised a ruckus in the middle of a fellowship or something like that. And I would go talk to them. I'd embarrass them publicly. I'd do whatever I got to do. So they're not gonna. I had one guy one time come to the church, and he was in the fellowship here, and he started to growl. Yeah, and I just looked at him. I remember I had a room full of people. I just looked at him and I said, nobody growls in this house but me. And he just stood there. He wasn't growling no more. He was welcome to come back. You just can't growl. Yeah. You can't be teaching and preaching and standing against God and his word and not be told. And I think that, you know, just like the Lord is telling them to their face. He is trying to win them. He's putting up with them. He didn't say, I cast you out, go away. He says, if you don't believe on me, you're going to die in your sins. We're fighting for people. We're fighting for these people because if they don't believe on him, they're going to die in their sins and be eternally separated from God. And it's not an easy thing to keep up, but you got to keep the perspective like our Lord did. He says, I got a lot of things to say unto you, but they didn't understand that he was talking to them about the Father. But he said, when you lift up the Son of Man, remember, this is not too far in the future here. When you crucify me, when you lift up the Son of Man, in verse 28, when you lift up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. You know, you're going to figure this out when I've been lifted up. And you know what? When, let's keep your finger there. Go to just one person here. Go to Mark 15. After they crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. When he was on the cross, in verse 37, it says, and Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And when the centurion, which stood over against him, saw that he also cried out, he gave up the ghost. He said, truly, this man was the Son of God. And then the women were also around. When that centurion saw the events of what happened on the cross and how Jesus Christ carried, how he acted based upon what was being done to him, he said, Father, forgive them. They were all round about him. This guy, he saved others himself. He cannot save. He didn't lash out at anybody. The fellow next to him that stood up for him, he says, you know, this day I'm telling you, you're going to be with me in paradise. You know, these are, and he also says this in John 13, 14, and 15, where he tells his men, because remember, this is just before. He's just a few months before he's going to give his life. He says to them, in that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, and I in you. And he's talking to his own disciples. It's the crucifixion ratifies the covenant that Jesus Christ came to cut, the new covenant. His resurrection brought it to pass. That was the victory, spiritual victory. Those that believe on him are also going to be raised. But, you know, the truth that he spoke wasn't understood or realized until after the crucifixion. His disciples, there were people who believed on him that day. He had the 12, one of which was a devil, but he had the 11 plus whatever was in the crowd. You know, these things people were believing, even though he still has this group of individuals challenging him on every word. Look at verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. Truth doesn't change. Although facts, science, things that we learn, all kinds of good stuff, you know, like I said before, things that I've learned in my life, many of those things have been thrown out, and from school and otherwise. And the same thing's true with the doctrine of the scriptures. As I've studied more, I've understood more, and I've had to change. But truth, real truth, the truth that God has given to the world, the truth that Christ spoke, whether I understand it all or not, it is the truth, and it shall not change, and it will never fall. The word of the Lord is never going to fall. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It does not say set you free. You have to put the truth on, and then it starts to work away. It works on you, and it makes you free. Anything you make takes time. Anything that you learn, anything that you're doing takes time, effort, planning, thinking, discipline. It doesn't come together all, that's great. You know, this teaching I'm doing, it took me time to think about. Now, if I was trying to put this, which I wouldn't even have tried, if I was trying to put this teaching together, you know, 45 years ago, all right, it would have took me a lot more time. But because I've read and studied and understand, it still takes effort, but it takes less time because I have 45 years of experience reading, teaching, studying God's Word. That doesn't mean there's less effort. Just means that, just like a surgeon, he doesn't have to, how do I do this again? Let me get the knife. Is it sharp enough? No, he can go to work right away. He's an expert at what he does. All right? And as long as you take it serious and you come, you do what you need to do, God will make you free. And they, now as critics, they answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free?" First of all, now I know that these people don't know the Bible. Okay? We are Abraham's seed. Well, did we forget Egypt? Come on. Did we forget Egypt? Did you forget Babylon? You've never been in bondage? Let's read the book of Judges. "We be Abraham's seed, and we're never." See, again, he's talking to people who don't know the Father. They don't know the Old Testament. They don't know. There's a lot of Christians out there that have no clue what's in the Bible. No clue of the history. No appreciation whatsoever. Just even what it took to have this book put in your lap. People died, were burnt to the stake just to have a few parcels of pieces of paper of what's written here. And people lose their appreciation because they're ignorant. They say, "We were Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free?" In fact, Rome, I think, is ruling over the neighborhood. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin." That's what he's talking about. You commit sin, you are the servant. You are a slave to sin. "And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your Father. Well, now we're getting real here, okay? These people, they don't know the word, they don't believe, they don't understand, they don't know the Father, they don't know him. He says, I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your Father. And they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, then you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. And they said unto him, we be not born of fornication. We're not a bastard like you. Again, that's what they got for ammo, is insults. Right? We have one Father, even God. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my words? You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convicted me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? This is the first thing that he says to them. Which of you convicts me of sin? They had no answer. There was no sin to convict him. They've watched him. They've tried to kill him. They've tried to trick him. They've tried to do everything to him. And they can't come up with a sin. They can't convict him. Our Lord, perfection is in our Lord. It's not in you and me. It's in him, though. They couldn't come up with it. And then if I have lived my life so in such a manner that you can't convict me of sin, why don't you believe me? Why can't you see this? It's because they were of their father. See, Ephesians 2 tells us that all mankind is born the children of wrath. All mankind is born with that sin nature. We are born with being the children of the adversary. We belong to him. Jesus purchased us back. We had to believe on him. And then we became the adopted sons of God, says in Ephesians. God gave us the grace and the mercy to have the word, to believe that word, so that we could become the sons of God. But we were, in all reality, every person born is the child of the devil. And unless they choose to hear, to change, that's why they're condemned already, the children of wrath. Verse 47, he that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore heareth them not, because you are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hath a devil? You are a Samaritan. You know what a Samaritan is? You're a half-breed from up north that worships another god, and you got a devil. Now, again, is it the truth? They're liars. They're liars. And all they got is insults. All they got is slander. That's what the devil does. He lies, he slanders, and he persists. You know, if you say a lie, it's been said a lot of times, and I thought this statement was from Joseph Goering in World War II, and then somebody else told me it was from Lenin. And then I just Googled it last night, and they said that it was from even earlier than that in a German newspaper. Somebody made the statement that if you lie often enough, it becomes the truth. You know, that's the gist of it. Hitler said, if you lie big enough, often enough, people will believe you. But that's the truth. You know, I have lived in this life, I have heard lies and lies and lies and lies, and I've heard it often enough on TV, I've seen it written often enough. I mean, that's real. When it's in a book, then you can really believe it. You know, I've heard all kinds of things. You know, the world was going to come to an end by 2000, right? Nothing happened. You know, so many years ago, you know, when I was in seventh grade, they said that half the world population is going to starve to death because there's too many people, overpopulation. And they were painting this picture. Well, we got twice as many people on the earth today that we did then. And there's still plenty of poor people who need food. But you know what? We got enough food to feed them all. They're just in the wrong locations to get it. You know. So many predictions. Oh, we're going to run out of oil. I remember Jimmy Carter. We're running out of oil. We're going to run out of this. We're going to run out of that. God bless. How many times? Just because you repeat these things often enough and people start to believe it. They're not necessarily true. They keep at them. Let me destroy your reputation in front of all these people in this conversation. Let me disrupt your ministry. Let me slander you. Obviously, they believe it because they're going to kill them. They just want everybody to say, crucify him. And they get the whole crowd to do it, remember? Verse 49, Jesus answered. He answers them right back. You got a devil? You're a Samaritan? I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. And I speak not my own glory. I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth, that speaketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never die. You're going to live forever if you keep my word. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets which are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Who do you think you are? And Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say that I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. I know him. I can't deny that. But I know him and keep his sayings. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. And then said the Jews unto him. Now remember, he's got more than one audience here, right? He is not making it easier for these guys, because they have already, you are of your father the devil. He knows where they're at, but he is answering every charge. And he is also doubling down. He's doubling down. I love my Lord. God, I love him. And this, what an example. You don't sheepishly walk away when somebody says something. What are you talking about? You're a dead dog. If you don't accept the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to die in your sins, and you'll be eternally separated from God. You know, do you ever see people at the go to a funeral service? Everybody's going to heaven, right? Or they're already there. You know, you go to the gravestones, walk through the cemetery. You know, everybody's got a marker for some, Christian, Jew, whatever. Everybody's going to heaven. There ain't nobody that shows up at the funeral service and said, this son of a gun's going to hell. Think about it. They lie. They lie and lie and comfort people with lies. And, many of these people never knew God. You know, they may have been brought up, like I was baptized into the Catholic Church, right? So Sister Faith, when I came back as a minister and I had to talk to Sister Faith because my grandmother was still a part of that church, I had to talk to this wonderful nun. Sister Faith was her name. God bless her. And she says to me, she says, John, why don't you come back to the one true church? You know, here I am. I'm an ordained clergyman, pastor of a church. Come back to the one. She had no problems looking me right in the face and telling me what she believed. No problems. I admired her thing. Now, I didn't let it go. I didn't push it too hard, but I didn't let it go. And I said, no, I'm sorry, sister. The Catholic Church wasn't good enough for me. It didn't teach me truth or scripture, so I had to go someplace else to learn it. And I found my Lord. Thank you, though. Now let's take care of my grandmother's business, please. Jesus didn't let it go. I don't want to lose my train of thought. There, Abraham's seed. Oh, we're wonderful. Now, are you going to say nobody's ever... I'm talking about eternal life, Jesus said. Abraham, look forward to see my day. He saw the promises in the word. He saw the consistency. He heard what God said. It's going to be, this seed is going to come out of you. Out of you are going to come kings and the Christ. He looked forward to see my day. and he was glad. Verse 57, then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old. They just can't get it. They just don't get it. They could have asked him, what are you talking about? And he would have explained it. They didn't. They just come right back at him. I'm going to take one point of what you said. And he saw my day. Oh, you're not even 50 years old. And thou hast seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. You know, many people believe that Jesus is God and he was there with God way at the beginning. That's not what this is talking about. God has been speaking about the Christ since Genesis 3:15. He has been speaking about this seed that would come to redeem mankind. You know, and that's the truth of what's here. I know that most Christians, they think the other. But that's not the record of Scripture. Scripture says there's one God. I am the Lord thy God. There's one. Have no other gods. The Holy Spirit isn't God either. The Holy Spirit was poured out and given on the day of Pentecost. It says in Acts chapter 2, it was a gift. It's a gift. God is holy, and he is spirit, and he gave that which he was. And that gift will go back to him when we fall asleep. You got to read the whole book, and you just have to see what it says. So many people believe lies. They've been repeated for centuries. You got to look and see it for what it says and not what you would judge. You got to challenge what you've been taught sometimes. I've had to challenge things that I believe were true in the Bible for years and then had to, nope, that's not what it says. It's not what he said. So I just wanted to finish up this chapter. You know, that the look at the example the Lord gives us and how he spoke to people. Look at the what's coming at you, because it's not going to change. The lies, they may be differently spoken, but they're still lies. All right? The adversary still, people can't see because they're spiritually blind. The only way they're going to see is if there's a little meekness. You know, a little desire. Then people help me, and God will. And never, ever, I just think it's totally wrong. You never give up on sinners, because we're all still sinners. Everybody in my church, including your pastor, is a sinner. You just don't let them rule. All right, so God bless. That's what I wanted to share with you.